We heard that you were the greatest collector of magic in all the land. You must have something that can help.
Well, of course I do, dearie. The thing I don't understand is why you need me when you already have all the help you could possibly ask for.
What do you mean?
True love comes in many forms, but the sisterly bond, oh, worth its weight in magic.
My powers are too strong. I need something to control them.
Well, if you insist, just remember, love is free, but all magic comes with a price.
You are listening to The Secrets of Once Upon a Time, and today we are going to talk about episode number 7 of the 4th season called The Snow Queen. And joining me to talk about this episode are Deborah, Shelley, and Lisa. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey. Hello, Father.
And it is getting winter in your part of the world, in the United States. Some parts actually already have snow and freezing temperatures. Here in Holland, where I live, it's still kind of mild, even though some people think that we are almost close to the North Pole. But we have no moose in sight yet, or snowman, or anything. What we do have is a great new episode of Once Upon a Time, and let's just remind us of what happens in this episode by playing the sound of the trailer.
Snow Queen, we'll find her.
Next Sunday, her powers are growing stronger.
You did it. You got me.
But with a single seed of doubt.
The family that you have, they fear you.
Shut up!
This hero,
what have I done?
Could become a monster.
Just keep your distance. I don't know if I can control myself.
No!
And in this episode, we learn that Emma is related to the Hulk. She just cannot manage her anger.
Hulk smash!
Yes! I mean, that was the first thing I thought of when I saw that trailer. It's like, oh, Emma is the Hulk. But there is definitely anger. I mean, the trailer was very, very interesting because finally we get some action and we get some real drama. And, well, let me ask you first, as usual, how did you like this episode, Lisa?
You know, I like this one. I thought it was part of its little formulaic to me, but I liked it. It was fun. And one of the best scenes that I keep seeing brought up online and Pinterest and all that is, of course, Regina and I can't think of his name.
Robin.
Robin Hood, yeah.
The smooching?
Huh?
The smooching?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Are they reposting that? Ugh.
Oh, yeah. That's trust me. My daughter lives on Pinterest, and that is, I mean, yeah. Everybody's just,
man.
Oh, my gosh. You know.
That was the only scene I wish they had cut out. I was like, oh, come on. Oh, God. God, I don't want to see this. Anyway.
That, and I have to say that the other really great thing was another movie tie-in. We can talk about that in a minute.
Oh, interesting.
Everybody went crazy about it in my house.
All right. Shelley, what did you think? I think you're muted.
Oh, hey, sorry.
There you are.
So I had somebody in my office and I had to kick him out. Episode. I liked this one. Just a tiny bit less than the other one. So I'm still going to go with an 8. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, I'm enjoying this ramp up to the, you know, okay, let's reveal everything. And there were lots of fun moments in the way. The only tiny thing I'm not really enjoying about it is all of a sudden the Snow Queen and her influence on Emma. But I'm waiting to see where they go with it.
That,
you know,
definitely
I'm not
feels,
enjoying
feels
this whole
rushed.
Emma all of a sudden. I'm so upset. I can't control my powers. It's a parallel. And I think they're just trying to use that element with the Frozen story. But I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt and wait for them to do the ending.
I agree. It feels a little bit forced and a bit out of character for Emma, but I see what they're doing. What about you, Deborah?
Okay, yeah, I liked this episode a lot more than the one before it. I'd probably rate it a 9.
Wow.
And that's, and I, you know, and I don't normally rate things that high. It's just, and it's actually mostly the gold stuff that I liked in there. Than the, not that I didn't like Emma and her, you know, ability to smash her police station up, but I really did. I really did like the very ending where you have, you know, go, you know, with the Snow Queen whispering into, you know, Gold's ear saying, this is what I want you to do. And then you see that smirk.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to enjoy doing that. I love that. And I loved, you know, Henry and his, you know, the whole, you know, furniture polish thing. That was funny. I like that a lot.
And this was the episode where he got all dressed up. Well, you know, if I'm going to be in the family business, I have to look the part.
Yeah. Like, no, that was actually
nice to see
very
him
cool.
Again.
See, that's what I mean. I liked the episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really good. They're doing a great job.
I was glad that with Henry, for once, he is really turning into a character. And it's just a change of clothes and it's a different style. I think this is interesting. I think it's also, I can imagine that this is also much more challenging and rewarding for the actor as well. Finally, no longer just the kid who knows it all, is always the do-gooder, but I can play something interesting. I really actually play a character instead of just being a boy. So I really like this episode for what they did with the backstory of Frozen. I thought it was genius to explain what happens in the animated movie by showing basically where the fear for Elsa came from, and that it was all part of a much bigger family drama that was playing out. And just seeing all that in this one episode, I was like, wow, I can't believe that Disney gave them permission to do this. And at the same time, I think they did a terrific job. However, as much as I liked that ambition of this episode, I did really dislike the tempo of the second half of this episode, where it's just basically all the times Emma speaking with the Snow Queen, and then we go to another. It's a lot of talking heads, and I don't know. I just felt that the big anger explosion of Emma at the end was almost too abrupt and out of character, but kind of didn't match the rest of the second half of this episode. There was an imbalance in the storytelling, and as much as I like to see the backstory of Ingrid and her sisters, it was a little bit too formulaic and sugary, and could have used a little bit more realism there.
Yeah,
but I think they were trying again to capitalize on what people love about Frozen. And if you watch or read anything, people say they love the girls were sisters, and they had that sisterly bond, and they stood up for each other.
Yeah.
And that's where I think they went with the Ingrid Helga Gerda. And I enjoyed it. And that was one thing that they always stood up for one another all the way up to the very end.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Frozen is a little bit a caricature. I mean, the characters are over the top, and you had the same thing happening here, where they try to evoke that with the creepy guy with the mustache, kind of trying to conquer Ingrid and
Weaselton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome.
That was the big thing that my whole living room just erupted in.
Mine too.
Oh my gosh, you know.
It's Weaselton. It's Whistleton. Yes, everyone.
Yeah. And then they actually had him dance. I mean, it was.
I know.
And didn't someone say it always starts with a dance?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a chicken. I'm a rooster or whatever. I'm a monkey. You know, I mean, it was.
It was great. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. And they put the three girls in three different colors, you know, pink, blue, and yellow. Mm-hmm. And did anybody else see that and go, looks like the three little fairies in Sleeping Beauty?
Absolutely. Oh. Definitely very Disney-like.
I did think their costumes were beautiful, though. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the kite?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me, Deborah, you didn't see that kite and go, oh, Mary Poppins.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a little.
I saw the kite and was like, a kite? Why a kite? It's probably a reference that I'm missing here. Is that Mary Poppins, really?
Well, let's go fly a kite. It's the end. Yeah.
Okay.
It's the family. It's at the end of Mary Poppins, this is a dysfunctional family, and she brings them all back together. She saves them. In fact, Disney had that big release of Saving Mr. Banks last Christmas time about the P.L. Travers. Mm-hmm. And so... So when I saw the kite, it's this happy family flying their kite together.
Cool.
Just like the end of Mary Poppins.
I have not seen that movie in 40 years, probably.
You need to get your nieces and nephews together and go watch it.
Probably. I mean, we just concluded this this season of The Secrets of Doctor Who, and in the final episode of this season of Doctor Who, there is a character that is very Mary Poppins-like in the way she acts and the way she dresses, and I was like, oh, I need to rewatch Mary Poppins because I'm missing a lot of inside jokes here.
Well, this whole episode really went back to the whole, do you have a choice? Don't you have a choice? Do you have control? Don't you have control? And yes, we got the whole motivation behind the Snow Queen, Ingrid's, everything that she's been basically reflecting onto Elsa. You know, they see you as a monster. Your sister locked you up in the urn. Anna did this to you. That, you know, you have no control over your powers. She keeps asking her, you know, almost like Star Wars, you know, tap into your dark side. Let your emotions control you. But here's the backstory. This whole episode, now we know why she's projecting that onto her niece.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. However, while watching this episode, I had a very, very strong deja vu type of feeling. It's like, haven't we seen this last season as well? And instead of the Snow Queen, you had this green witch. And it was exactly the same backstory. I'm not accepted for who I am. I'm feared. I'm considered to be a monster. And I was like, come on. I need
That's a very
new.
Human emotion, not to see how other, to worry about how others see you and to have self-doubt about who you are.
Yeah, but I was expecting at least a twist or something. It was so similar. But then again, perhaps nobody cares because it is still a good story. Let's see. I'm trying the Gerda and Rumpelstiltskin. The deal with Rumpelstiltskin, of course, very dangerous and wasn't. Well, oh no! Wait a minute. That was Belle's father who said magic always comes with a price. They give him their ribbons in exchange for the gloves and the urn. But why the ribbons? Why does he want to have that? Is there something he can do with those?
Well, they've been wearing them for, you know, 20 years.
I know.
It's their sisterly bond.
It's their, he said it, their love is infused in those ribbons. And so there's magic in that.
But is he, right. I mean, did he already have a plan how to use that magic, or is he just collecting?
Well, it kind of goes along the true love theme. You know, true love is the most powerful magic. And here are these three girls, and they have this sisterly covenant. They have this pact that they've made between them that they'll never be alone. They'll always be there for one another. Mm-hmm. And did you notice they're yellow? And so later when Emma captures the Snow Queen with the candle, it's a yellow flame that goes around her wrist just like the yellow ribbon was around her wrist.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that makes sense.
So this family support... that you were saying, all of Storybrooke seems to be about family and supporting and community. That, like she said, that's what the ribbons represent. And that made me think of Warehouse 13. You know how they have all the artifacts in Warehouse 13?
Yes.
The TV show. And so something powerful imbues the artifact with magic. I don't know if Warehouse 13 has any ties to Disney at all. I think it's on the sci-fi. It was on the Sci-Fi Channel. Uh-huh. But that made me think that, oh, look, the ribbons have become artifacts.
You watch too much TV.
That's funny.
I've seen one episode of Warehouse 13. I actually liked it quite a bit. It was better than I thought it would be. But that's nor here nor there. That's for another show. we've got the dramatic moment, of course, with Ingrid trying to freeze, what's his name again? The Duke...
Weaselton.
Yeah, Weaselton.
Yeah.
And then kills Helga, I suppose. She truly did.
Yeah, that was a little... the fact that she then just shattered. I mean, it was... I don't know. I was a little surprised.
I mean, it's almost Old Testamentical, if that's a word.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh my gosh, this really, someone gets killed here. And well, it's such a pivotal moment, because that's why Gerda is so afraid of Ingrid. Takes the urn, traps her inside, so that solves that problem, but also the question that we had. But at the same time, it also makes it so understandable why Elsa's parents were so afraid of Elsa's power. Because it's basically they're fearing that history repeats itself, and that Elsa will also hurt, I don't know, Anna or something like that, and that they try to find a cure for this dangerous magic and this power. I thought that was so cool that they gave a backstory to that fear. Anyway, I'm just geeking out.
Well, and I was just thinking too, you know, Gerda must have, until the grandpappy took all her memories away, must have felt so much guilt over that. I mean, it was her idea to go to see Rumpelstiltskin. Mm-hmm. And when all their troubles really, really started when they got rid of their ribbons. Once they traded the ribbons for the urn and the gloves, and now we know where the gloves came from, that's kind of when it started to go downhill, you know. And the Duke coming to Ingrid and Helga dying. And it just Gerda must have been just so, it all fell apart, kind of like Helga shattered when she fell to the ground. Mm-hmm. And it all goes back to going to see Rumpelstiltskin. The magic always comes with a price.
And that was apparently the price. That's a big price.
Yeah.
Then we go to Storybrooke, and the Snow Queen is now living temporarily in the clock tower. And I was like, why? Why is she there?
Weren't you watching that thinking this is all a little too easy?
Yeah. I mean, after you see what Weird. Happens, it's like, oh, yeah. She's just manipulating. She's just waiting there to get caught so she can have some time with Emma.
Right, right. And that's why she was there.
But they don't seem to, I mean, nobody's, if I were the sheriff, I was like, is that a little bit too obvious? Why is she there?
For people who have lived like hundreds of years and seen all kinds of evil and manipulation and everything else, they are pretty clueless.
Yes. I guess it's kind of fairy tale like to be in a tower.
Yeah,
if you're
true.
Evil, you need to live in a tower, but the clock tower, really?
Always seeing the good, you know, like the naivete, you know, mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. Oh, yes, really?
Now, then we get to the part that I really didn't like because it just felt a little bit spun out and easy writing. It's just the whole ongoing conversation of the Snow Queen and Emma. And is it me or I'm like also a little bit bothered by the Snow Queen's outfit? It's like, you live in yes. one of the coldest countries in the world and you wear that?
Yeah.
Really? Get a scarf or something.
Yeah,
and then the camera is always kind of a little bit from above. And
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Wait, there's lots of moments in my house where the kids, it's all like, oh, no, like, oh.
Let's say it's probably all as a reference to motherhood, but I felt it was a little bit over the top. But let's not go there.
Thank you for that.
Hook and Emma.
Speaking of mothers, Emma mm-hmm. comes on Mary Margaret, and Mary Margaret is having some sort of a, I don't know, some sort of a
Mommy
baby singing
me.
Class. You know, they're all sitting around singing together.
It's like, I know these people, but I couldn't
like
really tell
before.
Who they were. All these.
Well, one of them was Cinderella. The one in charge was Cinderella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. Ashley
and Sleeping Beauty. Yeah, shouldn't that baby be like 2 years old or something?
Yeah. Yes. But, you know.
Yeah. Just checking.
Well, at least that baby was older. And then uh-huh. Snow, and they were singing like goodbye, Alex, goodbye, Neil, mm-hmm. good, you know. And so Cinderella or Ashley was with Alex. Snow White was with Neil. And then that was Aurora with her baby, never seen before. And they named him Philip. So she had a boy and named him after, I guess, the father. Then there was another baby who I didn't know the mother or the baby, but there he was sitting in a Mickey Mouse costume. I mean, there's no hidden Mickey there at all. It's pretty much right there in
Mickey.
Your face. It was a nice tight shot.
Mickey.
Are those actually for sale? Sure. Yeah?
You can. Well, yeah, you can totally go into the baby stores there at Walt Disney World and get a costume for that. You can do Minnie and you can do Mickey and... Yeah.
Really? So it's uh-huh. just product placement, basically.
Actually, well, and that, and you can actually order all that stuff on, because anything you see at Walt Disney World, you can order online. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Not that I'm plugging that, but yeah.
Nice. That's we should somehow set up some affiliation there.
I know.
Yeah. That was, you know, and again, where Emma gets a little, I guess I get a little tired of Emma getting offended that her mother, who gave her away at 1.5 minutes old, is enjoying having a baby for the first time and getting to raise him. And I guess it gets kind of tiring that Emma's all like, oh, you didn't do that with me.
Yeah.
No, obviously I didn't. No, because sort of there was a curse and there was a, I mean.
They were trying to save you, right?
Oh my gosh. Seriously, girlfriend, get over it already.
Yeah, I know. I did like the boiling milk bottle, though.
Oh yeah, that was good.
That was like, Mike in the chat room is like, she's not the Hulk. She's more like the Human Torch, you know, like, making things boil like that.
Well, like, and then she seems surprised that Mary Margaret doesn't want to give her the baby. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that felt so almost forced, fake to me.
Well, you know what? It's kind of the kind of behavior that you would associate with Regina and not with Emma. Emma has never been that, you know, repressed anger type of girl.
No.
So it doesn't feel very convincing all of a sudden. And if they wanted to introduce here, I think they should have built it up a little bit more, trying to show more ambiguity in her attitude. And, well, she's always been kind of like, no nonsense. Let's just fix this and figure out what's going on, and always honest. And now all of a sudden she's this Hulk lady or...
Well, and that's, you know what? I do have a problem. Now that you mention that, I do have a problem because it seems like all of a sudden, like she was fairly able to control it in the past couple episodes. So what's the deal?
Well, and she was learning from Regina.
Yeah.
There's one thing we shouldn't forget, of course, and this is the Snow Queen we're talking about. She has that mirror, and there is a spell that emanates from the mirror that is able to create division and set people up to. So perhaps Emma is just a victim of the spell, and being close to the Snow Queen reinforces this, and she is acting illogically. She's just losing control because it's magic, you know, it's evil magic that's doing that to her. That would be the only, but they didn't really tell us that. They don't explain it. It's something I assume it could be an explanation. But it feels almost like the techno babble on Star Trek. Like, we need to figure out an easy way to explain to the audience that the we cannot use the transporters, but we have to use the shuttle. And so there is this interference with the beta radiation that jams our scanners and something like that. But, oh well. That's kind of the gist of the episode. She breaks the wall. The Snow Queen gets away. And is it Snow White who's like, oh, we don't even need that evil mirror because look, we're just. And I'm thinking Snow. I haven't seen Snow being that divisive.
Didn't we have something similar to that during the Peter Pan episode? Weren't they on the ship and the mermaids were singing and it was like a siren song and it was turning them against each other? There was. I'm sorry, I can't remember the detail now.
And it's like, we don't need the sirens to do this to us. We're doing it ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a bit of a cliche, but on the other hand, you could also say that's the fabric of this whole series. These are the moral themes that they introduce time and again. Doesn't really have any negative influence on the ratings of this show, which are still pretty, pretty good. So, I guess never change a winning horse. the episode ends, I think, with the confrontation between Rumpelstiltskin and the Snow Queen. And it's all about the leverage. You know, do you have something that I want? And then the Snow Queen seems to indicate that Rumpel wants to get away. I couldn't follow there, and I might have been a bit tired, but I was like, well, what's the logic here? What is she telling him? What's the hook for him?
Well, I think go ahead.
No, I was thinking that she wants him to do something, probably to Captain Hook, speaking of hooks, to get him out of the picture, and he's not a big fan of Hook anyway. So maybe it's a matter of killing Captain Hook or doing something to him to get him out of the way so that Emma's free to be, you know, part of the sisters. And that's, I think, what's going to happen with those three. That's my whole theory. Should I tell you my theory?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
With the three ribbons. Oh, I think she's going to put them on Emma's wrist and on Elsa's wrist. So, and they're going to be tied together.
Because they're magical.
Yes. So all three of them will have them on their wrists, and it'll be a magical binding kind of thing.
She just wants to artificially force them to be a family, even though to be a true family, you need free will, right?
Exactly. So we'll see what happens with that. That's just my theory.
I like that theory.
I think it's a very good theory.
But they haven't answered the question, and this is big for me. Why Emma? What is it? I get why Elsa. I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
But why? Where did her infatuation with Emma come from?
She's blonde?
The savior. It was in the... because it was in the prophecy, the scroll prophecy, the savior, and her name will be... And she will be... Oh, hang on. Let me find my note. She will
but
be
I
the,
know, but stop and think about it. So Snow Queen, whatever her name is. So she comes from another world into our world when Emma is a child and then kind of follows her and then disappears again for another 15 years and then shows up again after another curse. We've had two curses and then, I don't know, it just seems kind of weird.
Well, we still don't know what happened in that 6 months that they were a foster family.
There might be something
we don't
know.
So when they have
the
scroll and it says the name of the Savior is Emma and the Savior shall be become Ingrid's sister.
Mm-hmm.
So Belle was there, and then she came back, and that was right before Rumpelstiltskin came and saved Maurice and the castle, and Belle went to live with Rumpelstiltskin, and that was right before the first curse, and Emma was the savior. So, yeah, I mean, it stands to reason she somehow went to our world and has been trying to get Emma. And then she got Emma as a foster mother. But what happened?
She randomly just found Emma. And in Emma.
They'll have an explanation.
In our world.
They'll have an explanation.
That just happens to be a savior. I mean,
they will
I don't
have
know.
An explanation.
I mean, it has to do with maybe Rumpel turned her on. I don't know. I mean, it's just weird.
Well, something happened because remember, Rumpel keeps saying, she doesn't remember you, does she, dearie? And maybe that's all the good for you, you know. She doesn't remember you. Well, we still have to have the reveal. What happened in the foster family? What happened between 15-year-old Emma and Sarah Fisher?
Yes. There's got to be more to this this story. And it feels like we're really approaching a crescendo in this story thread, and that's also necessary because we only have a few episodes left before the end of this half season. Next week there's going to be a double episode. It's a 2-hour episode, Smash the Mirror, part 1 and part 2. This is because we skip a weekend. It's November the 23rd. I assume that has to do with Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Wild guess.
I would assume. The weekend before Thanksgiving, they'll probably have some TV specials on.
Usually they have the ratings moment where everything is just turned upside down. And then Once Upon a Time, we'll be back on November the 30th with an episode called Fall. And then we have Shattered Sight and Heroes and Villains is the final episode on December 14th, just before Christmas.
1, 2, 3. So it's 3 and then a double. So we have basically 5 episodes still.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's more than I thought.
Yeah, but there's still kind of like complicating things and you have to first create a big situation of distress and everything seems to go wrong and then, of course, you need the resolution. Let's look ahead at the next episodes, the two-parter, with the trailer for episode 8 of season 4 called Smash the Mirror.
I can help you.
Henry!
Next Sunday, an epic 2-hour tale of sacrifice.
She said she's going to get rid of her magic.
The effect would be permanent.
Just fix it.
And ice cold betrayal.
I won't hurt my sister.
Do it!
As the ultimate dark magic.
You have no idea the forces you are dealing with.
Takes hold.
Don't do this!
New Once Upon a Time, a special 2-hour episode next Sunday, 8/7 Central on ABC.
Looking good. I cannot wait to watch it and to talk about it in our next episode of Secrets of Once Upon a Time. That's it for today. Thank you so much, Deborah, Shelley, and Lisa for joining me on this show. And thanks to our listeners for their ongoing support and the very nice feedback that we get from time to time and your kind emails. We even get emails from people that are now listening to our first season that we recorded 4 years ago. It's incredible. But we do appreciate your support. There are a few other ways in which you can support us. And the most important one I want to mention just briefly at the end of this episode is our current winter fund drive. We currently have a bit of a problem, and that is our costs for the server and the bandwidth and everything are higher than the donations that we get. And so we are kind of upside down financially. That is why I would like to ask for your help. If you like what we do, if you enjoy our shows and it's worth something to you, think of us. If you can do this for free by shopping at Amazon and first clicking on the link on our website, as you know, on sqpn.com. But also on sqpn.com, you can find information on how to set up things with PayPal for those micropayments, and you become a friend of the network. And some of our listeners have done that. And think of the money that you would normally pay for a cup of coffee at Starbucks or elsewhere. If you can spare one of those cups of coffee and become a monthly sponsor, if a lot of people do that, then that can help us actually continue to do this show. Because if we can't pay the bills anymore, how are we going to bring you these shows? So hopefully you can help us a little bit. You can also help us with a one-time gift. And we are a, what's the name again in English? Like a C545, some numbers?
501C3.
There you go. Something like that. Anyway, your gift is also tax deductible. And you can find more information about that on our website as well. And that website would be sqpn.com. Thanks for listening and see you next time.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.